You know, we've been working through the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. And I hope it's been helpful in your life. But I know the fruits of the Spirit, we think we want, you know, when we read through them, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know, we can't show love to others without the Holy Spirit in our life. We just can't. We can think we have love, but we can't show love like Christ showed love without the Holy Spirit in our life. We can't have joy in our life without the Holy Spirit. Not the joy that only comes from Him. We can't have peace in our life. Because let me tell you, this world here does not want us to have peace. It seems like everywhere we turn, there's some kind of struggle, there's some kind of adversary, there's some kind of obstruction that gets in the way of our peace. Patience. Last week, we talked about patience. And I tell you, that's a tough one right there, because we want things now. It's hard to wait on God when God says, well, I'll give you a promise. And just like before Jesus came, they had a promise, and there was a time in history, there was hundreds of years before they'd even heard from a prophet. It's like 400 years. It takes patience to wait 400 years. Moses, 40 years in the desert. I mean, that takes patience, right? So today we come to kindness. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. We read also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 and 13, where it says, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. You know, I look at these words here and of putting on. And he says that we should put on kindness. We should put on patience. We should put on gentleness and humility. We should put on. And I looked in the Greek and I thought, well, the Greek word should be a little bit different in definition. And what the Greek word says is it means the same thing. It means to put it on. And I think about me when I get up in the morning, I got to put on my clothes because nobody wants to see me any other way. Amen. You know, amen, right? Amen. I mean, there's a good reason why we wear clothes, okay? All right, but you know, it's something that we've got into the habit of doing is what I'm trying to say. We get up in the morning and we put on our clothes. We don't think anything else about it. I mean, you know, we just put them on. We just do it. It's a habit, right? And when we think about this word put on, we ought to get dressed spiritually as we do physically. We ought to get up in the morning and I'm going to put on my spiritual self now. I'm going to put on gentleness and humility and compassion and kindness and patience, and I'm going to put on those things today. That's something I choose to do. Just like I choose what color of clothes that I'm going to wear. Or what shoes I'm going to put on. So what kind of attitude I'm going to put on today is my choice. I can get up in the morning with a bad attitude, and I can choose to keep that bad attitude, and I can share that bad attitude with everybody. And many times that's what we do, isn't it? It just depends on what side of the bed we got out of. But it was a choice. And Paul says kindness is a choice. It's something we can choose to put on every day. Kindness is love in action. And a practical expression of love, really. It's visible and active and not just emotional. And you ever wonder why there's just some people out there that just seem like they're happy all the time? It's just like no matter where you see them, no matter where they're at, no matter what's going on in their life, it seems like they're just happy. And you think, you're like, it almost aggravates you. It almost makes you mad because you're like, how can they be so happy all the time? You know, but God says you can be that way too. Because I'm sure that person gets up in the morning and they put on their spiritual self, their spiritual clothing, emotional clothing. And it all comes from the Holy Spirit. It all comes from God. And they express the love that comes out of them because that's what God has done to them. And when God fills your heart, God's bound to come out. Right? Because He doesn't just fill you halfway or part of the way. He fills you all the way to overflowing. Come on now. Amen. And when you're overflowing with the love of Jesus, guess what comes out of you? The love of Jesus. So when you're overflowing with kindness, what comes out? It should be kindness. I wonder, why should we be kind? I'll tell you, there's some times in life there's unkind people that we run into. Why should we be kind back to them? Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. You know, somebody's, going to be rude to me, I might as well just get rude right back. Sometimes that's what we tend to do. Kindness is a kind of risky, though, at times. That if we're nice to someone, they might think that, why is this person being so nice? And what's in it for me? Or what's in it for him? You ever wonder about that? You know, think, on another hand, if we're kind to people, they might try to take advantage of us. Because they do that, too. So there's a risk to being kind to people. Sometimes you take on a whole new role in a relationship when you start being kind to people. Yeah. So it is kind of risky. But despite of the risk, we are to be kind for two reasons, I think, most of all. First, we're to be kind because God's kind. Number one, God's kind. God is kind to us. Romans 2:4 says, do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? We should not think lightly of God's kindness to us, should we? He's shown us kindness and tolerance and patience in order that we may seek Him and come to Him. So don't take it lightly. The other reason we should be kind is that we want people to be kind to us. Amen. We want to be treated right. And Jesus said this in Matthew 7:12. He says, in everything, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. Now that's a good rule. Isn't it? That's a good thing to live by. Do for others what you would want them to do to you. Now, what rule is that? We've heard that before somewhere, haven't we? If you're rude to other people, I think they're going to be rude to you. But if you're kind, most people will want to respond the same way. I think some reasons why we need to be kind to people this morning, I want to share with you. One is we got to be sensitive. We got to be sensitive. Now, I know for some of us, that's really hard. Because, I was in the military for 4 years, and then I worked in the construction field for 20 plus years. And let me tell you, you lose your sensitivity. You do. You get callous to that. You get tired of being, dealing with rude people. You get tired of dealing with rude employees, and I mean, there's just all kinds of things. All kinds of things. I'm just being honest. Dealing with people is hard. It is. And I've been in the work, you know, owning my own business. And, you know, I didn't have a choice when I was in the military. You don't. You know, people are just rude all the time, most of the time. But then there's some great people there, too. But you have to be callous to that. You can't have feelings, almost. You know, you got to leave them at home. If you have feelings, you're gonna get them stepped all over. And sometimes we wanna protect those feelings, and so we don't want to be sensitive. I think kind people are sensitive to others. They're aware of the needs of those around them, and praise God, He's helped me with that. He has really helped me with that because, you know, I've not always been a very sensitive person. You know, we have to be aware of the needs of those around us so we can become aware of the needs of those around us. Philippians 2, 3, and 4 says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others." I think that's a good thing for the church, isn't it? Isn't that how we should operate as a church, right there, all of us? And if that's the way the church should operate, that's the way we should operate personally. Kindness always starts with noticing what's going on in other people's lives. You know, and that takes work. Because we can't read minds. You know, it's a lot. Sometimes I miss things. And I apologize for that. If I've missed something going on in your life, I apologize for that. And it's hard for me to know everything. I want you to know that. I just can't know everything. God just doesn't ring a bell and say, "Hey, ding, 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 this is going on. You need to do this or this or this." Doesn't. I have to make an effort at noticing things. And sometimes I miss things. But it always starts with noticing what's going on in other people's lives. And the fact is that everyone you meet this week needs kindness in their life. They need a kind word from somebody. The people you meet on the street need kindness. The person sitting next to you this morning needs kindness. Everyone needs a little kindness in their life from somebody else. The kindness starts with the sensitivity, and we find examples of sensitivity and kindness in the life of King David. Recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 9, David was crowned king of Israel. And in Saul, you know, the former king Saul had died, and Saul and David had not been the best of friends. And matter of fact, Saul wanted to kill David. But Jonathan, which was Saul's son, David and Jonathan became good friends. And Jonathan helped him a lot. And so after Jonathan had died and after Saul had died, David wanted to do something good for what was left of Saul's family and Jonathan's family because he appreciated Jonathan so much. And then he asked, he says, "Is there anybody in that family left?" And he said, "Yeah, they found one, and his name was Mephibosheth." Now, that's hard to say. Mephibosheth. Okay? And say that three times fast. Well, Mephibosheth, and I'm going to say it wrong, I know I will, before this is over. He this is what he said, "Don't be afraid," because he was scared when the king called him, because he knew that, you know, he's like, "What's going to happen here? I'm afraid that David's going to do me in," you know. So David says, "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." A little story about Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth got dropped when he was a little baby. And he was crippled. It broke his legs. And so he was crippled. He couldn't take care of himself at all, so he had to have somebody take care of him. And so David said, "Don't fear, I'll take care of you. I'm going to give you back what your father had, and then you're welcome to come and eat at my table anytime, and I'm going to take care of you." So he showed kindness. You know, what is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me, is what Mephibosheth said. He said, "Why would you notice me? I'm nobody. I'm a cripple. Nobody cares about me." And back then, that's the way it was. He couldn't take care of himself. He couldn't work. He had a poor self-image. He had a poor self-esteem. And so David was very kind to him because of his relationship with his father. So, you know, it does us good to be sensitive to those who are hurting around us. Those who can't take care of themselves. Because let me tell you, they've all got a backstory. You know, I see hurting people all the time, and when you really listen to their story, yes, there is some accountability upon yourself, but sometimes they didn't have a choice who they were born to. They didn't have a choice where they were born, where they lived, where they grew up. They didn't have a choice into all that. And some people don't grow up in the nicest families, relationships, I mean, all kinds of things. Atmosphere, that's the word I was wanting to use. And sometimes it's hard for us. We want to judge people and we don't want to show too much kindness to people. But let me tell you, sometimes that's all they need. Is somebody just to love on them and to be kind to them. And let me tell you, God can take that and use it in great ways. We got to be supportive in how we talk. We got to speak kindly. This means we got to talk about building people up and not tearing them apart. And we're really good about tearing people apart. We got to speak kindly. Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." Nobody likes to be put down. Nobody likes that. You know, that old "sticks and stones may break your bones, but names will never hurt me." That's wrong. Let me tell you, that's not right. I mean, because words hurt. Words can tear somebody apart. Words, one wrong word can make somebody leave a church and never come back. And I'm telling you that as an eyewitness, also, I mean, I've witnessed it. I've heard it from other people. I've seen it happen. 20 years later, that person, "I will never come back to that church ever again." Those are the hardest words I've ever heard in my life. For somebody to look at me, point their finger at me, and tell me, "I will never come back to that church again." That hurts. It hurts. It is important that we're accountable for our words. It's important that we hold ourselves accountable for our words. And the power of the tongue. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. That's what the Word says. You can destroy others with what you say to them, and so you can build people up in the same way. Man, you can encourage, and I love it. I've got some great encouragers in this church. And outside this church, I have people that I get a text every Sunday morning. Never fails. Every Sunday morning, I get a text message, and it's about this long, usually always, from our DS. He never fails. He sends me a text, and he says, "I'm praying for you. I appreciate you. I want to encourage you." And he does that every Sunday morning. And I appreciate that. That means a lot to me. What even means more is to think that he does that for the other 92 pastors on our district. every Sunday morning. Now that takes an effort. That's not easy to do. And it's not a mass text because it's personal. Because he says, Randy, I'm looking forward to seeing you. He always mentions something that's either something that we've done or in the meeting that we've had. So, I mean, that means a lot to me. And I want to be that person as well. I want to be that person that's never tearing people apart, but is always putting people back together. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus was always in the business of taking broken people and putting them back together. And he's like, that's what I want you to do. I want you to go and make disciples. I want you to go and baptize them and teach them to obey my commands. Why? Because it puts people back together. You want to know how to get your life back together? Just follow the ways of Jesus. That's simple as that. Don't follow my ways. Don't follow your neighbor's ways. Follow the way of Christ. Because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And I wished my daughter, I'd embarrass her right now, but she drew a beautiful painting for me. The most beautiful painting I've seen. She gave it to me today, and it says, I am the way, the truth, the life.
Amen.
Beautiful, beautiful. So I want to ask you this morning, and I think only you can answer this. Well, maybe not. Because there's others around you that might be able to answer that question too. Are you a kind person? How supportive are you in speaking to others? Do you encourage or discourage other people in your words? Do you lift up other people or do you tear them down? So I would challenge you to be kind all the time. We know examples like Joseph in his life who his brothers threw him in a well and then they was going to kill him and then decided not to kill him and then they sold him into slavery. Wonderful family. Yeah. So, you know, and then he goes in and in just the moment that he thinks he's doing, everything's getting better, then he gets thrown in prison. And I mean, the whole story is he's up and he's down and he's up and he's down. But in the end, we know that he got put in charge of like everything in Egypt. Well, along comes his family. You know, they always show up when you're doing good. Yeah. They never show up when you have nothing. They always, you know, wait until you got something and here they come. You know, nah, I'm joking. It's true, though. You know I'm telling the truth. Yeah. It seems like every time I've got just a little bit extra money in my pocket, and I'm thinking, oh, man, there's this thing at Harbor Freight I've been wanting. Somebody comes along, and I'm like, oh, God, you knew I had that extra money. Happens all the time, doesn't it? Yeah. You know, but here comes Joseph's family. They show up, and then Joseph could have, like, get out of here. You go back. Starve to death for all I care. Because that's what some people would say. I don't want nothing to do with you. What you did to me, you don't deserve anything at all from me. So just get out of here and leave me alone. But Joseph didn't do that, did he? He showed a kindness that only could come from up above. And he showed love and he showed compassion and he showed kindness to his family. I'm going to tell you, being kind works. We also have to be sympathetic. I got to hurry up or I won't get through these. Being sympathetic, that's another thing I got to work on. Praise God, His Holy Spirit helps me with this one all the time because it's hard for me to be sympathetic with people who seem to always repetitively mess up. Isn't it? I'm sorry. But somebody's always messing up all the time, all the time. That's the ones it's hard for me to be sympathetic with. It's like, you you're just getting better, and now you, I mean, all this stuff, and it just seems like it's ongoing. But, you know, people appreciate it sometimes, you know, especially at funerals and things, when you can sympathize with them, when you just grieve with them, and when they're hurt, and many times in a crisis moment, you don't have to say anything at all. You just got to be there for somebody. You don't have to say anything. Just being there is an expression of kindness. Sometimes a touch on the shoulder or a tear or a pat on the back or a grasp of the hand to a hurting person means everything. Romans 12:15 says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." And also in John 11:35, it says that Jesus wept. Jesus wept over the death of Saul, even though he knew he was going to go back and raise him from the dead. Even though, why would Jesus even weep over that? Because he was human. He was fully human. He had all the emotions that we have. In some ways, it puzzles me, but and I stand and wonder when I read that verse, but I ask the question, why is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords breaking down and crying at that moment? He holds the power of life and death. And I mean, he didn't even have to go to Lazarus. He could have healed him before. But he didn't do that. Jesus wept. I think he was teaching us to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Because he's fully human. He was a human being with all the emotions that humans have. He was saying, this is how, you know, this is who I am. This is who God is. I mourn when you mourn. I hurt when you hurt. Don't think God's ever abandoned you in your time of grief. He was being sympathetic and he was showing kindness. And if you want to know what kindness is like, just look at Jesus. If you want to know what being sympathetic is like and supportive, just look at Jesus. We got to be straightforward sometimes with people, and I know I mentioned this in Sunday school this morning with the teens. Sometimes we take it to the wrong place, but sometimes a straightforwardness is kindness. It means being candid. Sometimes we got to talk to people. I need an accountability partner. And if you don't have one, I encourage you to get one. We need somebody that we can talk about stuff with and somebody that'll be honest with us. Because I don't need somebody to beat around the bush and tell me that if I'm doing something wrong, I need somebody to tell me. I'm sorry, but I do. I may not like it, but I need somebody to say, hey, you know, that's a little out of line. Let's pray about that together. You don't have to be mean. You don't have to be hateful. You don't have to be, you know. But you got it. Sometimes we need that accountability to say, hey, to keep us on the right path. And I know that so many times we've had the Pharisees in the church that's not been so good at that. They've been the ones who have not been so kind when it comes to pointing out people's faults. And we're real good at that. Jesus wasn't like that. I mean, he did tell the Pharisees, look at you, brood of vipers, you whitewashed tombs. You're all beautiful on the outside. You wear the clothes that looks makes you look religious and all that. And you go through the motions and you go to the synagogue and you pray and you do all those things good, but in your heart you're dead inside. I'm not talking about straightforwardness like that. I'm talking about sometimes we just need a friend to help us. Help us deal with some of the things that's going on in our life. To hash out things that maybe we're thinking a little bit wrong. And usually when we talk about those things, you get back on the right path. We need good friends in our life. We need people in our life that can can help us with that. A real friend will level with you and say the things. They'll say the things that you don't want to hear sometimes, but you respect it from them because you know that they love you. I mean, if I went to the doctor, I would want a doctor to tell me that there was something bad wrong with me, right? I would want him to be candid with that. I wouldn't want him to say, well, you're all right. You know, it's okay. As soon as you leave, man, that guy won't be here next week. I mean, you know, I'm honest now. But we don't get mad at the doctor when he's candid with us about stuff. Sometimes we may not like it. We may not like what the doctor says. But at least he's being honest, and we know that. We respect that because he's being honest. And that's what I'm saying. We need friends in our life like that. Gentle. We need to be gentle Christians. Gentle, nice, loving, kind. Presenting the fruits of the Spirit. Paul says this in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for all one in Christ. All are one in Christ Jesus. Paul cared for everyone, and so should we. We should care for everyone. It doesn't matter if it's the person on the street that has nothing or the person that has everything. And everybody in between that. Regardless of color, race, whatever you want to put in there. Now, I had this example, and I didn't know how this was going to work, but I think it works. We got to be spontaneous. Finally, if you want to be kind, we need to learn to be spontaneous, and we don't want to wait to show kindness. We got to do it while we have the opportunity. You know, it could be anywhere you're at. You could show some kindness. Galatians 6:10 says, So then while we have opportunity, now listen to this, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's do good to everybody, but especially let's do good to each other here in the church. Wow. Come on. Note that word right there, while we have opportunity. We should be kind. Whenever we have the opportunity, we should be kind. Not just on occasion. That's what I'm trying to say. Not just occasionally. Like, well, I did that a couple months ago. I was nice. I was really kind. What are you talking about, preacher? I bought somebody a hamburger 10 years ago. I'm good. I know that's silly, but... You know, but these opportunities may not last. There are some people that need that. God puts people in your path every day that need something from you. I believe that with all my heart. Whether it's kind word, gentleness, whether it's something God has put. People need us. I think about the Good Samaritan, that story there where people would pass the guy by, you know. Because they didn't want to be defiled or they didn't have time or any of that. And there's this Samaritan guy. He stops by and he gets the guy and he bandages him up and he takes him to a hotel and he gets him a room and he tells the guy, he says, listen, if there's any extra cost, when I come back through, I'll pay for that too. That's a great story. I'm sure that priest had plenty of excuses for not helping, and I'm telling you what, we do too sometimes. I've got a lot of excuses for not having time. Sometimes I'm helping somebody else and don't have time to help another person. I can't do it all. But yet, there's always lots of excuses. And sometimes we drive by people all the time just because we don't have time. There are all kinds of people around us who are hurting. I will say that. Many outside the church and many inside the church that are hurting every day, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually. And they just need a kind word from us. They need kind people. So what's your excuse for not helping today? And I always ask myself, why am I not a kind person sometimes? So I challenge myself this week. This message is as much for me as it is anybody else. I have to be kind. So be kind to somebody this week. Okay? I know it's one thing to hear sermons about the fruits of the Spirit. It's one thing to hear a sermon about being kind, but then it's another thing to become one, right? To become kind. So our world, is filled with people who need kindness. So let us be a people who present the fruits of the Spirit to everyone that we meet, okay? Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Lord, there's a lot of things that I'm sorry for, Lord. I'm not sorry for choosing you to be a part of my life. Lord, so help me today. Help us today, Lord, to be kinder, to be more gentle, to be more loving, to be more patient with everyone that we meet, to show the joy that only comes from you. So, Lord, again, I thank you for what you're doing and what you're going to do in people's lives. And again, I thank you for this great group of people that you've put in my life. Lord, help us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.